It's good to be back up here after taking a couple of weeks off, 3 weeks off. David brought a wonderful message, a wonderful series to us. And so now it's my turn to do 3 weeks in a row. I hope you don't react to that news like my grandson did, who came in and said, "Papa, are you preaching today?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Oh." But I think that means that he's disappointed because then I don't get to hang out with him during the service. I'm sure that's what it means, unlike when you guys say that. But it's good to be back up here with you. So we're beginning our series entitled Led to Lead, and we're going to be doing this up through probably to Thanksgiving, and then we're going to switch over and do our series of Christmas messages, which we are calling at this point a cinematic Christmas, and we'll be taking sections of Christmas movies and showing them and then bringing a biblical message to those. And so it should be a lot of fun, something very different that we haven't done before, but I'm excited about doing it. And I got to say that I'm very excited and encouraged to have David as part of the pastoral team because he's very creative. And after being here and doing messages for 25 years, I kind of run out of ideas. And so he's always ahead of the game. As a matter of fact, this week he sent me an idea on a sermon series, which is fantastic, and I'm looking forward to doing that perhaps in the new year. And so it's nice to have some new creative juices, so to speak, and to have that creativity as part of the pastoral team. So I'm really grateful for that and really excited, and I hope that you are too. So my premise this morning is I want to talk to you about leadership, and I want to try to convince you that you are a leader. When I asked that question last week, most of you, I don't think anybody raised their hand, except for maybe one or two, that said that they are a leader. That means you're a follower. But I think that part of the problem is we don't really have a good understanding of what leadership is. Because when we think about leadership, we have a tendency to think about what the media and what culture presents to us as a leader. We are beginning to see the start of a new presidential election season where candidates are trying to present themselves as a leader that is worthy of being presidential. And at times when you can look at that in regards to both fields, it's rather discouraging because they have a worldly view of leadership. And for those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, it's sometimes difficult to know who to vote for because they don't necessarily always share our values and our concerns. And so I want to present to you what the Bible has to say about leadership, and that's where we're going in this series. And so I want you to understand that all of you are a leader. All of you are called to be a leader. And I want to make that case to you. Now, that doesn't mean that you go into work tomorrow morning and you tell your boss that you are the new leader. I don't recommend doing anything like that. And in fact, that would be contrary to what we are trying to get across to you this morning. So, are you a leader? Well, the first thing I want to bring to your attention is this, that God is a leader. God is a leader. As a matter of fact, one of the favorite psalms that most people know is that the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. All throughout Scripture, you will see where God leads. God leads his people. God leads individuals. We talk about the leading of the Holy Spirit, the guiding of the Holy Spirit. So God in his very nature is a leader. That's who he is. He is a leader. And if you are a Christ follower, being a follower means that what? That he is your leader. So the first thing that we would note in order to become a leader is that you have to be a follower. To be a godly leader, you need to be a follower. You need to follow God. We see evidence of leaders in the Bible, many of them, who were good leaders, but at various points in their leadership ministry, they may not have followed God. We see that in Moses. Moses was a great leader, but because he did not always follow God and did not always listen to God, he was denied the opportunity to go into the promised land. Nonetheless, he was a great leader. Joshua was a great leader. Joseph was a great leader. Noah was a great leader. We see leadership characteristics all throughout the Bible, and they are highlighted for us. However, the perfect leader was Jesus Christ. And so when you think about being a leader, and you think about Jesus, on the human level, it did not end well for him. His leadership and his path of leadership led to his death. But we praise God for that, because without that, we would have no hope, we would have no future, we would have no eternal life. So God is a leader. Secondly, as we know, we have discussed many times before, we are made in God's image. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And so many of the characteristics that we see in God, we also see that he put in mankind. We know that God is love. And what is the greatest commandment? To love one another. And so God is forgiving. And what are we told to do? To forgive one another. And so many of the characteristics that we would use to describe who God is, God imparted that on his people and said, you are to behave like this. I want you to understand one thing. We are not really ever called to be like God, but we are called to be like Jesus, because we cannot be God, but we can be like his son, Jesus, who was fully man and was fully God. And so we are created in that image, the image of God. And so those characteristics, some of those characteristics that we would use to describe God at a human level, we are also called to do. And in Genesis 1:26, which precedes the verse in 27, it tells us that we are made with a purpose. We are made with a purpose. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And so we see that this was the original stated purpose for making mankind. I want you to also understand that when God did this, sin had not yet entered into the world. And so the relationship between man and God at this point was perfect because there was no sin. And so because there was no sin, there was no need to state another purpose about our relationship with God, because in that instance, our relationship with God was perfect, was as he intended. After the fall of man, after Adam sinned, and after Eve sinned, then God began to instruct his people as to how to maintain a relationship with him and how to live in a world full of sin and how to be obedient to him and to be his child and so on and so forth. But at this original state, when God created man, there was no sin, and the purpose was that we would rule over the earth. God created us to rule over the earth. In Psalm 115:16, it says this, the highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. And so we see that in the origin of our creation, we are given the command to rule. We are given that job to rule, to lead, to govern, and might I say, to steward. Because when you really look at leadership and you understand the essence of leadership, it is really an issue of stewardship. When someone becomes the president of the United States, what is he? He's the steward, the chief steward of the people and of the property and of the policies of the United States. We don't tend to think of it that way, but that's what he's there for. He is there to do the will of the people. Might I also say that in the inception of our founding fathers, he was there to do the will of God. We've gotten away from that, but that's a topic for another sermon, another conversation. So we are made with a purpose. We were made to lead. We were made to be a steward. A steward is someone who takes care of, who manages something that doesn't necessarily belong to them. We manage the earth. The earth doesn't really belong to us. It belongs to future generations. And so we take care of it so that it will be there for future generations. We also take care of it because why? Because we have an accountability to God for taking care of what he has given us. And so, therefore, we were created to rule. We were created to lead. We were made with a purpose. At the most basic level, a leader is someone who influences others. A leader is someone who influences others. You say, I'm not a leader. Are you a father? Are you a mother? You're a leader. Do you have people that look up to you? Do you have friends that look up to you? Do you have friends that come to you for advice, for counsel? You are a leader. Are you in a place of management where you have employees underneath you? You are a leader. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christ follower? Then you are a leader. You say, well, I am those things, but I don't see myself as being a leader. A leader is someone who has what? A follower, who has influence over someone. How many followers do you have on Facebook who check out what you have to say, what you have to post, who make comments on it? May I suggest that then you are a leader? If you're an influencer on Facebook or social media, then you are a leader. It might not be the traditional sense of leadership, but if you influence people in any way, good or bad, you are a leader. So let me ask you, how are you using your influence? I've been a fan of John C. Maxwell and his books and teaching. I've seen him several times in conferences and so on, and he's a very prolific writer on the subject of leadership. I've shared this illustration with you before, this story before, but I heard him share one time he was doing a leadership conference with these like Fortune 500 companies and high-level leaders, and they were amazed, and they said, where did you learn these leadership principles? And he said, do you really want to know? And they said, yes, we really want to know. So he said, well, why don't we get together for lunch and I'll share it with you. So they, a bunch of them got together, sat around a table for lunch, and he shared with them that all of the leadership principles that he teaches come directly from Scripture. They were amazed. You're kidding. He said, no, I'm serious. And he was able to share the gospel with them by showing them that leadership principles come from Scripture. But he had some interesting things to say about leadership. A leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. Leadership is not about titles, positions, or flowcharts. It's about one life influencing the other. Self-centered leaders manipulate when they move people for personal benefit. Mature leaders motivate by moving people for mutual benefit. More than anything else, followers want to believe that their leaders are ethical and honest. It's true that charisma can make a person stand out for a moment, but character sets a person apart for a lifetime. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Leadership is influence. Nothing more, nothing less. So let me ask you, who do you influence? If you're a teacher, you're a leader. You're influencing young minds. Or maybe if you're teaching in adult classes, you're influencing older minds. But you're a leader. If you're a spouse, you're a leader. If you're a husband, you're a leader. If you're a wife, you're a leader. They say the husband is the head of the house, which, you know, you take the head off and there's no life there. Wives lead, influence their husband. Doesn't mean they necessarily have that position of headship, but they influence their husband. And any man who would deny that is a liar. our wives influence us. And we ought to also influence our wives and our families. So maybe you aren't convinced, and this next point might seem to enforce your belief that you're not a leader. But number five, leadership is a spiritual gift. Leadership is a spiritual gift. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, those who have the gift of healing, those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. It's found in 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And then also in Romans 12, it says, if your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. And so we see that there are those who are blessed with that spiritual gift of leadership. And depending on which version you're reading, it might say governing, it might say administrating, but essentially we're saying that it is leadership. Some versions will say that it is leadership. And you say, well, it's a spiritual gift and I don't have that spiritual gift. Let me just say this. Very few of you, I won't ask for a show of hands, but very few of you have the spiritual gift of leadership. But that does not exclude you from being a leader. You say, well, how can that be? Well, we all believe that there is a spiritual gift of intercession, right? Praying. Some people just really know how to pray, and they pray powerfully, and that's their passion. They love to pray. You know who they are because you're the one that goes to them and asks them to pray for you. But nowhere in Scripture does it say that only those who have the spiritual gift of intercession are called to pray. everybody else is off the hook. It doesn't say that in Scripture. We know people who have the spiritual gift of evangelism. They're just really good at it. It comes to them naturally. They can share their faith without fear, and they will see results. Can I say to you, most of you don't have that spiritual gift. You just don't. If you did, I would know that you had it. I know some of you have that spiritual gift of intercession, but again, most of you don't. Some of you have the spiritual gift of helps. You're just really good at helping people behind the scenes and doing things. Most of you don't. We all have spiritual gifts, but that doesn't exclude us from participating in those activities. We're all called to evangelize. Some of us are really gifted at it, but we're all called to do it. We are all called to pray. Some of us are really gifted at it, but we're all called to do it. We are all called to help. We're all called to hospitality. To be hospitable. Well, the Bible says that very clearly. Be hospitable to one another. We don't all have the spiritual gift of hospitality, but it doesn't exclude us from that responsibility. Some people have the spiritual gift of leadership, but it doesn't exclude us from that responsibility of leading, of influencing other people. Do you understand that point? It's not fair. It doesn't seem to be fair, but the Scripture doesn't say that God is fair, that God is just. And so he asks us to do things that sometimes are uncomfortable for us, are difficult for us. Why? So that we can be dependent upon him and upon his Holy Spirit to help us in those areas where we are uncomfortable. If we had all the gifts, if we were great at anything, at everything, then there would be less of a need for us to be dependent upon God, and we would become braggadocious. We would become proud in our abilities. Look at leaders. What is the greatest struggle for leaders? It's pride. The greatest struggle for people with a spiritual gift is pride. Why? Because people begin to look up to you. People begin to honor you. People begin to follow you. And if you're not careful, you can think that it's all about you. But let me also tell you something else about people, is that they can be fickle. Who might be someone who's promising in leadership today, could be left and devastated tomorrow. Because why? Because we're a fickle people. We are all called to lead. We may not have that unique ability. We may not have charisma. We may not have that position or that title. But we are all called to lead. Every one of us. Number six, we are instructed to lead like Jesus. Romans 15:8 says this, "Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promises he made for their ancestors." And in Matthew 20:24-28, in our family time, which by the way, if you're not at family time, you're missing a really great time. I would encourage you to come. But we're memorizing that passage. Our memory verse for the month is this similar passage, but out of Mark. But when the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. What is that about? Well, remember the two brothers that came to, actually their mother came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, I have a request. When you come into your kingdom," and she was thinking of an earthly kingdom, "when you declare yourself king over the earth, I would like my one son to sit on your right and my other son to sit on your left." And it was a rather bold request. And Jesus said to them, he said, are you willing to drink of the cup? In other words, are you willing to endure the hardship of leadership, like I am? And they said, oh, yeah, we will, not knowing what they were getting themselves into. And he said, what was his response? His response was, in fact, you will drink of the cup, but for who to sit on my right and my left is not up to me, it's up to God. The other disciples, the other 10, when they heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. And Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Let me just say that description right there is the cultural definition or the cultural picture of leadership. When we look at many of our presidential candidates, our senatorial candidates, and different candidates, that's what they look at in leadership. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. But Jesus said, not so with you. In other words, what's he saying? He's saying, don't go that way. You're to be different. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And in Matthew 28:20, it says this, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let me break that whole statement down into one word. What did Jesus say? I want you to influence others to follow me. As I have influenced you to follow me, I want you to go and influence others to follow me. Leadership is influence. When we share our faith and we bring someone to Christ, we often refer to it as what? Leading someone to Jesus. Leading, influencing someone to Jesus. We are called to be influencers. We are called to live a life in such a way that it draws people to faith in Jesus Christ. We are to speak in such a way that it draws people to Jesus Christ. We are called to be leaders. And again, let me say, leadership is not a position. There are many people who hold leadership positions who are not leaders. They may have been appointed because, and we see this often in government and in our government, somebody owes them a favor, and so they put them into a position that they really aren't qualified to hold or are good at. But nonetheless, they are there. So it's not really based on position. You've heard of this, many of you perhaps have heard of this statement, the Peter Principle, where someone is, you know, they have some charisma, they have some basic leadership skills or something. And the Peter Principle is this, that they are promoted to their level of incompetence. And we see that a lot in management and companies, and where someone, they might be a likable person and they get into a leadership position, and the reality is they're not good at it. They are promoted to their level of incompetence. We could say that occurs in our government, that people are promoted to their level of incompetence. Maybe because the party feels like they owe them something, or maybe in some instances it's because that individual knows so much about other people that if you don't promote me, I'm going to tell all. We don't know what the motivation is. So it's not about position. It's not about influence. It's about influence. And you can be an influencer without holding the title. You can be an influencer without having the position. You can lead from behind, and we're going to talk about that. You can lead from the second row. You can lead from the bench. Leadership is about influence. And we are all called to be influencers. We are all called to influence others to follow Jesus Christ. We are instructed to lead like Jesus. So, by way of conclusion, let me share this with you. Let me ask you these questions. Who do you have influence over? Who do you have influence over? Might be somebody at work. Might be somebody in school. Might be your classroom. Might be your spouse, your family, your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren. Second question, are you using your influence to better yourselves or to others? To better yourselves or others. Now, I would not be telling the truth if I were to lead you to think that good leadership, good influence is not beneficial to both sides. However, what often happens is people, we try to influence people so that it will better ourselves. We try to influence people so that we gain something out of it. But if we really have the right motive for leadership and the right motive for influencing people, there is a mutual benefit. But our desire is to benefit the other person, the person that we lead. Becoming a grandparent has taught me a lot about God. So when I'm with my grandkids, I hope that I lead them in such a way that they will follow God. And I believe that all of us together are doing a really great job of that. And so I have great concern for them growing up, particularly in this world. But I would be lying if I said I didn't get anything out of it, because I get a great deal of satisfaction and I get a great deal of joy, and they reciprocate love, and that's very affirming. And so there are benefits to being a leader. But if you're truly a leader and you're truly an influencer, it's not all about you, and it can't be all about you. Because then once it becomes all about you, then you're manipulative. And your motives are incorrect. It has to be about the other person. This past month in September, I ended my 25th year here as a pastor. And I, you know, look back and reflect on all of that. And, you know, 25 years ago, if you asked me how it was going to go, honestly, I would say that it wouldn't look anything like this. I had more grandiose plans and ideas and so on. But nonetheless, you know, God has guided me and He has kept me here. And I would like to say that looking back, that I've always made the right decisions. I would like to say that looking back, my motives have always been pure. And I can't say that. There are times when it has become about me. And I regret that. There are times when I wasn't really a good follower of God. I mean, I was like, you know, some of the leaders in Scripture, and obstinate and, you know, disagreeable and wanting my own way and not wanting to do maybe what God was asking me to do, or doing what God didn't want me to do. And you know, I have those regrets, and but that's, you know, that's leadership. That's part of the learning process. But what one thing I've learned is that leadership is lonely. It's lonely. It's and it's about serving. And it's about serving without notice. It's about doing things behind the scenes that you don't call attention to. That's what serving Christ is like. It's about doing things without notice. It's about being kind and not being recognized for it. It's about showing up and doing what you're supposed to do quietly, without bragging, without boasting. It's about doing the difficult things. It's about going the extra step, the extra mile. It's about serving. It's about serving. And yes, sometimes it's not fun. It's not fun. But if I keep the focus on what it's supposed to be about serving, and I keep it off myself, it's a lot more enjoyable than it is when I begin to turn that focus toward me. You know, like, and I don't mean this in a braggadocious way, but just to illustrate, you know, leadership. Like, if we have a work day, church work day, you know, it typically goes 9 to noon. And that, some people might stay till 1 or whatever. I almost never get out of here until 4 or 5 o'clock on a work day. Because that's leadership. It's tying up the loose ends. It's finishing up stuff that didn't get done. It's maybe starting a project that you know isn't going to be finished in 3 hours. You know, leadership is service. It's coming down here at 10 o'clock at night, checking the water because the temperature is supposed to drop below zero and you don't want the water pipes to freeze. So being the leader means you check the water and you turn on faucets and stuff so that the water doesn't freeze. That's what leadership is. I've had a lot of people who wanted to be a leader in the church, who wanted maybe to be a pastor, to preach. And you can very quickly tell what they're made of. Because for them, it's all about being up front. And it's all about bringing the message and getting whatever accolades they feel they deserve for what they preach. And pretty soon you'll see that those leaders will only show up to church when it's their turn to do something. And then they're not here. I've seen people in churches. One of my pet peeves was when I was a pastor at another church, even though I wasn't the senior pastor, I had the responsibility of putting together the service for a period of time when we were searching for a senior pastor. And I noticed that there were people that were on the roster to sing and do special music or to do something up front. And they only came to church on those days that they were supposed to be up front. And then you would never see them. And so quickly, I began to change the roster. And they would come to me and say, how come I'm not singing? And I'd say, because the only time you're here is when you're singing. What kind of example is that setting? We've had people that want to preach, but the only time they come to church is when they get to preach. And then they're not here. That's not leadership. That's all about being noticed and telling people, look at the gift that I have. Look at what I get to do. That's not leadership. Leadership is service. Leadership is fixing toilets and shoveling the sidewalk when you're the first one here. Now, could I delegate some of that? Yeah, probably. I'm not a real good delegator. But that's what leadership is. And I hope that in my 25 years, I've demonstrated that I'm not above getting dirty. And I'm not above, you know, doing whatever to make things happen. I haven't been the best leader. That's certainly true. I'm not the most influential, but it's been quite a journey, and I've learned quite a bit. So let me close with these two thoughts. Are you using your influence to bring people to Jesus? Are you using your influence to bring people to Jesus? Let's break it down real simple to social media. I'm becoming less and less a fan of social media. I don't participate on Facebook and everything. And that's not to say that those of you that do are wrong or anything like that. But by just typing a couple of extra words, you could begin to change the influence you have on people. We are a congregation that is very artistic and very creative. And lots of times people post things that they've created or they made or whatever. And that's wonderful. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. However, I'd ask you what your motive is. Is it to see how many likes you get? Maybe you could just change it a little bit and just include God in that. And say, you know, I am so grateful that God has given me the ability to do this, and you share it. Bring God into it. And maybe you could begin to use your influence for Jesus Christ. And finally, let me ask you this question. Are you a servant? Are you a servant? Leadership is about influence. Leadership is about serving. It's not about being served. It is about serving. Jesus said, instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We are all called to lead at some level or another. And we are all called to serve if we're to be followers of Jesus Christ. So hopefully, if I were to ask you again to raise your hands, are you a leader? You would say yes. Because if you're a follower of Jesus, you are a leader. Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for using me to bring them. I trust that your Spirit spoke through me and that people would begin to contemplate their role as a follower of Jesus and also as a leader of men. Pray, God, that you would cause us to consider the influence that we have and how we are using it to bring glory and honor to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.